If you need to contact Narcotics Anonymous or are interested in our sponsorship Behind the Walls program, please contact ARSC Regional H&I, P.O. Box 1351, Phoenix, Arizona 85001. Hello and welcome back. My name is Matthew M. I am an addict in recovery and I am a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And today I am joined by Cassandra T., a previously incarcerated member of Narcotics Anonymous. She is going to be joining us to share her experience, strength, and hope, talking a little bit about the process of recovery inside, possibly what the process of recovery outside looks like, and just give us a little bit of insight as to her story. So, Cassandra, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Matthew. Definitely happy to be here.
Thank you. And, you know, if you'd like to share a little bit, you know, kind of maybe about your clean time or how long you've been outside, how long you were inside for, anything you'd like to share before we get started.
Absolutely. So I just celebrated 7 years.
Congrats.
And I can say I never thought that that would be possible.
Right.
I've been home a little more than 2 years now after completing a 6.5 year sentence.
Wow. Okay. And it's always interesting because I've known you for about a year and a half. And I was wondering how I hadn't known you prior to that. So that makes a lot more sense now, why I didn't previously know you. So, you know, it's great to have you here. I'm very excited to hear your experience, strength, and hope. And let's just jump right into it. So I'm kind of curious, you know, what was your recovery journey like? Were you already a member of Narcotics Anonymous prior to becoming incarcerated? Did you discover Narcotics Anonymous inside? Kind of give us a little bit of insight about that.
Sure. So I was not previously a member of Narcotics Anonymous, nor did I know much about the program and what it was all about and that it existed
Right.
Before. So I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous inside. And it was at a time when I, like, during COVID,
Oh,
so
gotcha.
there weren't any volunteers that were able to come in. And, you know, I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through other members of the program that were still incarcerated at the
Right,
time.
right.
And I started working the steps in there. I took a class. They used NA literature. I got a sponsor on the yard, and honestly, you know, when I got to prison, one of the biggest issues for me was trust, right? And
Oh, right.
prison isn't the most ideal place to be vulnerable
Yeah, that's a
and
fact.
open up. It
Right.
it really isn't. And so I found, you know, a person that I trusted enough to work the steps the best that I could at the time. And I
Right.
worked them all the way through inside. And,
Wow.
you know, it was really good for me because it was the very first time that I took an honest look at myself. It was the
Wow.
very first time that I experienced any sort of identification. It was the very first time that, I mean, not only did I take an honest look at myself, I got to be honest first and foremost with me, and then
Right.
be able to share that with someone else. And
Right.
that was so hard initially, right? It was hard until it wasn't.
Right. No, that's amazing to me to think of, you know, for those members that are potential members possibly listening that haven't worked the steps, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, I can tell you it is a very vulnerable, a very emotional process to it's something that requires a lot of trust in another human being. So to imagine, you know, doing that in that type of a situation while in the middle of a pandemic, That's a massive testament to, you know, how much you really were wanting to do this recovery life. So what, I mean, what was that process like? You know, you said, you know, you found somebody that you trusted at least enough. Did that take some time? Were you know, from the day you got there, you're like, I got to make a change immediately, you know, let's get into recovery? Or did it, you know, take a process to kind of find somebody that you vibed with and actually did trust?
So lots of different questions. When I hit the yard, and I walked through those gates, like I made a conscious decision to get involved to get involved into anything that was going to help me change the person that I was when I walked in, because I
Absolutely.
knew if I left prison, the same person that I was when I showed up, like
Right.
it was gonna be trouble for me.
I like we
And
say, if
so
nothing changes, nothing changes.
nothing
So,
changes. That and that's
right.
so true. But
Right.
I was committed to change, and I didn't know what that was gonna look like. I
Right.
didn't know that Narcotics Anonymous was gonna be a huge part of my story, inside and out.
Right.
I didn't know any of that right at the time. Grateful though that I took a risk trusting that woman. And for me, I judged her based off her physical appearance. And I
Interesting.
remember thinking, like, there is nothing that woman is going to have in common with me,
Oh,
which
gotcha.
was not true when we
Of
started
course.
going over some step work.
Right.
And she told me, your answer sounds so much like mine,
Right.
or me too. I was like, wow, there is someone else, right, that
Right.
has either experienced some of the same things, done some of the same things, or had some of the same things that I've experienced done to them.
Right.
And that was so powerful for
Oh,
me, like so
absolutely.
powerful, made me realize like I wasn't alone. It wasn't just me, because at that
Absolutely.
time, I for sure thought no one could relate.
Oh, of course. And that's one of the most important things that we have within the fellowship is that sense of identification, that sense of realizing that I'm not alone is such a powerful feeling. And that's why I'm so excited about being able to do this podcast and getting the message to our members who are incarcerated. So I wanted to kind of touch on, you know, you said that this whole process started right around COVID. So there weren't any like H and I meetings coming in. You guys didn't have any opportunity for stuff like that, correct? So like what did you
That's
guys do for
correct.
meetings?
Yeah, that's correct. So, any meetings that were held on the yard were inmate ran or inmate led.
Okay.
And you know, we did the best we could.
Right.
And at that time, literature was scarce.
Right.
Yeah, it was a difficult time. It
Right.
really was. And yeah, I just like I but we did the best that we
Yeah,
could. We
and
did the best that we
it's
could.
further evidence of how resourceful and determined a group of addicts seeking recovery truly can be. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a worldwide pandemic, a lack of literature, things shut down. You know, if we really want something and that something's recovery, we'll find our ways to get it for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So once the process kind of continued, so you know, you get started, COVID, everything's locked down, but you have somebody that you're working with, you're working through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. You guys are running some, you know, meetings there in the yards. Did it start to change a little bit once the COVID restrictions started to be loosened a little bit? Like, did that change how your day-to-day recovery looked like on the inside?
So it took a couple years for that to
Mm,
happen. By
right.
then, I was planning my release.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and I was fortunate to have a mentor who was a member of Narcotics Anonymous, who was out here,
Okay.
and her recovery was just as important to her as my recovery was to me. And that was
Absolutely.
important for me. I
Absolutely.
recovery, like, even though I didn't really understand exactly like how much my life was going to change, I knew that recovery was going to be important moving forward.
Right,
Because
absolutely.
I didn't want to go back to the same behaviors. I didn't want to go back to the same people. I didn't want to go back to the same using. I didn't want to go back to the life that I knew,
Right.
right? What I lacked in experience of was living life without drugs.
Right.
That's what I lacked,
Right.
right? And I found that. I found that in Narcotics Anonymous.
Right. So then how you mentioned, by the time things kind of opened up, it was getting close to your release date. Once that started to be on the horizon, what was kind of the next step? Were you able to kind of figure out what you were going to do afterwards? Were you able to put together an idea of I'm going to go to this meeting or I'm going to talk to these people? Like, what was that transitional period? Maybe like a month prior to your release and maybe a month after. What did that look like?
So I remember specifically having a conversation of one of the members who of Narcotics Anonymous who were still incarcerated at the time, and she provided some direction.
Okay.
She told me to go to a meeting. She told me to get a sponsor and to keep the connection with my higher power that I had developed.
Right.
And the other thing that she suggested was to keep some of the same rules I had inside. So if one of them, well, when I came home, so if one of them was to not hang around people who were using, then
Right.
I continue to follow that rule out here, right? Because
Absolutely.
there was a reason why that those rules were made, so to say. And what I've learned since coming home is how important it is to surround yourself with those who are living the Narcotics Anonymous program, living
Absolutely.
spiritually, applying what they learn, and good examples of what recovery looks like.
Absolutely. No, that's so true. And especially transitioning out into the open world can be a very stressful time. And if we stray away from our foundation of what got us to that level of success, if you will, I mean, that can be a terrifying thing. I'm curious, what was it like, working through the step process inside, especially as you said, you need to be very vulnerable, and vulnerability is a not exactly a commodity within most prisons that I've had experience with. So can you kind of just touch a little bit on like what was that process of getting you to feel the trust and to walk through that vulnerability, and just what was the step working process like inside?
Yeah, that's a good question. I took the risk, right? And I didn't really know if that woman was someone who could be trusted.
Right.
But after, like, I was grateful that I took that risk, because without taking that risk, I probably would have never, I would have steered away from working any steps, right?
Right.
But what I learned through working the steps in that, it, like, is number one that I could be honest, right? I no
Right.
longer had to lie, which is huge. The other thing was, I like taking an honest look at myself. I got to see, like, actually see and feel like that I needed forgiveness. So in turn, it allowed me to extend that forgiveness to those that had harmed me,
Right,
right? So
right.
let go of some of the resentment or work through some of it, right? I mean, things
Absolutely.
kind of come up a little bit later when they're supposed to,
Right.
things that I thought I worked on, right? But and we also know, like, working the steps one time, like, it's you have to continuously work at recovery, and you peel back
Absolutely.
the layers of the onion, and the work is like it's lifelong.
Absolutely.
It doesn't just end with one set of steps. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
Absolutely. No, and
Okay.
it's no, definitely. And it's very interesting, to hear different perspectives on the step working process, especially, from someone that has worked them while inside. So I'm curious then, once you had this foundation kind of set up, you knew what you needed to do when you got out. What has that looked like since you've been out? How has your recovery kind of changed? How does your recovery look today? You know, maybe compared to a couple of years ago when you were still recovering, you know, inside.
Yeah, so when I came home, it took me a couple of weeks to go to a meeting, and then I actually ended up finding a sponsor, and I kind of want to talk a little bit about the process because it was way outside my comfort zone. Not
Okay,
only was I like
absolutely.
new to the fellowship, I was new to the outside world,
Right.
and so within a couple of months, I had reached out to a woman on Facebook. Because there's a Narcotics Anonymous group, and
Right.
I reached out to her and I introduced myself, said, I had, I have 5 years clean. I just came home from prison, and I would love to be connected to other women in recovery.
Right.
That's what I did. She provided me with so many different numbers, and one of those women that I reached out to ended up becoming my first sponsor when I came home.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like
And
I met her and we went to a meeting because most of the women that I was given numbers for, I met them at meetings, right?
right.
And connected with them. And
Now,
some of those connections I still have today.
right. And I love that you mentioned that story, especially of getting outside of your comfort zone, you know, because so often, you know, we talk about that we are responsible for our recovery. And we are responsible for making that initial, you know, that initial phone call or that very awkward, hi, hello, you know, I'm looking for a sponsor. And those are the things, especially for a lot of us early on, that we've never done. And to get outside of our comfort zone and to actually be able to walk into, you know, that uncomfortability is some of the greatest ways for us to grow, in my personal experience. So, and it sounded like from your experience as well within that. So thank you very much for sharing
Absolutely.
that. Yeah.
You're welcome.
And so before we close up, I just kind of wanted to give you a second, you know, if you kind of have you know, we don't tell anybody what to do in Narcotics Anonymous, but we definitely do give some suggestions. And as a member who was previously incarcerated, who found recovery through Narcotics Anonymous on the inside, do you have any, you know, message that you would like to share with the listener who might be sitting there thinking, maybe I need to check this new way of life out. Maybe I should get to a meeting. You know, do you have any suggestions as to kind of what would be the option to go with there?
Absolutely. The first suggestion that I would give is to trust, find someone that you can trust enough to work the steps with. Work the steps as thoroughly and as best as you can, and do some, like an honest or take an honest look at yourself
Right.
and be honest. And give yourself a chance. Like Narcotics Anonymous has changed my life in so many ways, ways that I have never imagined. My life is beautiful today, and it's just the beginning of my recovery and my
Right.
life out here. And I can only imagine what it's going to look like as long as I continue to do the right thing, work a program of Narcotics Anonymous, do the things that are different and that seem hard and that are uncomfortable. Get outside your comfort zone, because you deserve it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That's a great way to close. Amazing message. And thank you so much, Cassandra, for being here with us today. Really appreciate you sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And thank you again for being here.
Thanks, Matthew.
Absolutely. And thank you, everybody who is listening. And stay tuned for future episodes. If you would like to speak directly with a member of Narcotics Anonymous, please contact our phone line at 844-991-AZ. Again, that's 844-991-2962.